Today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Phillies podcast. My name is Dan Wilson, and on today's episode, part two of my conversation with Alex Carr. If you're not familiar with Alex, I did have part one, so I recommend checking that episode out as well. But Alex is a writer for The Good Fight. You may also know him from Twitter, where he tweets about the Phillies, gets a lot of good traction on his work and his takes about this Phillies team. We got more into the personal side of him, how he kind of grew this brand that he has of tweeting about the Phillies, the world that he has of baseball, the world that he has of theater, how he got into baseball, how he's from England, doesn't have an accent, and a whole lot more. It's a really fun episode, and I think really unique. You know, it's always fun to talk about the Phillies offseason moves, making fun of this front office, saying this guy is a Hall of Famer, this guy is not, but this one takes a bit of a unique spin, and I think it was good to change things up. So I'll stop boring you with my intro here, and without further ado, my conversation with Alex Carr. In terms of what this team actually is, like you mentioned the excitement aspect. In February of 2019, they signed Bryce Harper. Excitement all-time high. Like everyone ready to go. They're getting their Harper jerseys, whatever. He embodies the city. Everyone loves him. Ballpark's going nuts that first weekend I was there. I was at a spring training debut. It was all great. Since then, we have seen like a steady decline of the life just being sucked out of the team. I guess maybe there's a little bit of a fool's gold, I'll call it, when they fired Kapler and brought in Girardi. But we saw that the problems were much, much bigger than that. And they fell short of a playoff team. Like I made this statement the other day. Tell me what you think of this. In a year with so much news, like if you had someone who had just missed the past year of news, like waking up from a coma on December 31st, and you got to fill them in on like what they missed. First of all, I don't even know where you probably start with the pandemic. You get to, you know, who passed away, everything that they missed. One of the first things out of my mouth is the Phillies won 10 out of 11 games. And it's a 10 out of 11 games. And that's kind of a stretch in a 60 game season. And by the way, they expanded the playoffs to 16 teams and they still didn't make it. Like, it's incredible. And the excitement is not going to be high after a season like that. I thought that there might have actually been benefit. I don't generally like rooting for my team to lose unless it's something like the Sixers where they're explicitly like have it planned out tanking, to tank. Yeah. Right. I said that because if they made the playoffs, like it's very conceivable in my mind, and tell me if you disagree, that Matt Klintak's still the GM if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really
I'd like to think that he's not. I'm not convinced that he wouldn't be.
I think that it's really hard for me to say because I think honestly I'm of the personal belief that I think Matt Klintak was not only on the hot seat, but he was destined to be gone, I think, after this past year. I think unless the Phillies, you know, they just absolutely exploded won the National League, I don't think anything really could have saved him. It's like with what was I going to liken it to? I totally had this awesome
analogy.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But you know, if the Phillies had gone on and won the NLCS, sure, like then maybe he would have kept his job. But I don't even know because the pandemic might have influenced him to have kept it for one more.
Well, no one wants to uproot during a pandemic. Also, that's another great quote that we've gotten out of this.
I'm going to die if I have to hear. There are a few phrases and words I just don't want to hear ever again in my whole life. One of them is uproot. The other is unprecedented.
Unprecedented. I've been done with since May. Unprecedented is done. Uproot is incredible. Some other gems that we've gotten out of the past 2 years. If we don't, we don't. And what was the third one that no one wants to uproot during a pandemic? If we don't, we don't. And there was a third gem in there
that I'm not remembering right now. But
value with the margins.
That's a good one too.
Than hear that. I cannot tell you how many times I, and all love for Gabe Kapler. He was very, very good to me in my time with him as the Phillies manager. But the amount of times over text message I saw the word margin was tough. It was probably like it started coming up in my recommended words to use thing on my panel of text things on my iPhone.
It's because just assumed I you always wanted just, to use it.
It was crazy. But it's hard to say if Matt Klentak would have kept his job, especially because we are facing such a weird, wacky time. But I think that he was not long for the team in terms of leading it anyway. The same way that I think Andy McPhail was not long for the team, past, I thought, this year, maybe not. But the one person I didn't expect to be going anywhere or to be on the hot seat was probably John Middleton, because I really don't think outside of the Harper contract and signing and all that, I don't think he had much say in.
Well, he doesn't touch bullpen positions. That was the third one, by the way.
Oh my God, pain. Maybe he should have.
Maybe he should touch bullpen decisions. You have the worst bullpen ever.
There are a few things that I can say about Matt Klentak, but I certainly do think that he made decisions that benefited this team sometimes. I think the Carlos Santana contract was terrible. I think the Jake Arrieta contract was a little bit better, but the Carlos Santana contract did not make any sense at all. The David Robertson contract, I don't know why you're paying $12.5 million for David Robertson. Yes, he's a workhorse, and yes, you needed bullpen help, but that's a lot of money to pay.
It didn't help that he never pitched because of injury, but I hear your point.
He got, at face value, when you're looking at the time of signing, sure. He got out-dueled in terms of figures every single time except for the Harper contract. I think the Harper and maybe the Wheeler deal. I think the Wheeler deal was actually one of
And again, how much of the Harper contract was even Klentak? Like, you're looking at Middleton, then he's just like the last at the table, and he flies out to Vegas and he's like, all right, let's get it done. And that's how the contract came to fruition.
But I think he made the right moves sometimes, but he got beat on salary every time. David Robertson was representing himself. This is something that's so overlooked. David Robertson was representing himself. He didn't have an agent to do his negotiating. Yeah. No, you literally never see it. That was like the first time I've ever seen it personally. But he represented himself and got Matt Klentak to give him eight figures per year. That is wild.
Guy should be a lawyer when he's done,
I know.
He should become an agent when he's done pitching.
It's just absolutely, it's insane. It is absolutely insane that happened. So I don't think Matt Klentak was long for, at least for this payroll, because God knows we're trying to save money now. And he wouldn't have done that. That's for sure. So it's tough to say that he would have kept his job, but I do think that, speaking to what you were saying about, maybe there would have been some hope left, if this team had made the playoffs, I completely agree with you. I think had they had a winning record and made the playoffs, you would have been able to just kind of sit back, relax a little bit, and like know that maybe not all is terrible, but the worst possible thing
happened. It might have been a false sense of hope because they were getting swept by the Dodgers the same way the Brewers did.
Yeah.
It was not going to be anything great, but they literally needed to win two games in the final week and couldn't do it. Like, the collapse was incredible.
A single game. And I just don't get it. And I don't understand how now we're looking at the Raisel Iglesias trade of yesterday. It took a replacement level 30-year-old relief pitcher and their number 21 prospect, right? You gave up Nick Pivetta and Connor Siebold. Connor Siebold, who, by the way, is probably a 4 or 5 starter on a good team. You know, like, has some really solid potential. And Nick Pivetta, who I don't even want to talk about because I will explode, but who went on to have 2 pretty decent starts with the Red Sox, you know, in his final couple weeks of the season. You gave that up for Brandon Workman, who should have been great, wasn't, but should have been, and it hurts. And Heath Hembree, who is no longer with the team again. So it's just so everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And there is no sign of things getting better. And that's why people are sad. And that's why I'm sad. So
that's fair. It's all fair. I wanted to, we were talking because we could harp on whether I'll ask you one final question, just because it's the big question that everyone wants to know. If you had to place a bet on it right now, opening day 2021 at even odds, is JT Realmuto a Philly?
I was really bullish on the fact that JT was going to sign an extension for a long time. I think given the events that have transpired, that I guess hope, I'll call it, has dwindled a bit. But seeing what I've seen thus far out of the Mets camp and hearing what I hear and knowing what I know, which is not a lot, to be completely honest, I would say that the Phillies are probably the front runners to land him right now, but, and that's a huge but, I think it comes down to whether or not they are actually willing to fork over the cash. I would love to say that, you know, confidently, yes, he will be a Philly, but I just don't think I can say that. But they might just luck in to getting him back. And it would be very lucky for them.
Were you surprised? And again, I lied. One more question, and then we'll get into a little bit of your personal history of getting into baseball. Were you surprised that they didn't extend a qualifying offer to Didi Gregorius?
Surprised? No. Angry? Hell yeah. I mean, I was pretty, I don't know if you saw my tweets of that day, but I was pretty furious. I think that is the biggest no-brainer you could ever.
It made a little too much sense.
It made, I think that obviously with the next year's shortstop class being what it is.
And with Bryson Stott, like superstar, maybe a year away.
Right. 5 superstar shortstops hitting free agency. 5. Didi Gregorius was undoubtedly going to hit the free agent market to explore his options for a multi-year deal. He is 31 years old now, I think. He doesn't have much time left to pursue a multi-year deal. Of course he is going to decline your $17.9 million one-year offer. He already proved it. He already did the prove it deal.
Oh, and by the way, they were literally afraid he would accept. And even if he did, that's a win for you.
Right. You don't have a hole at shortstop anymore. Like it is so mind-boggling to me that they wouldn't just take that risk. And even if he does accept, oh well, you just sacrificed $17.9 million of your payroll space. Even if you suck next year, you can trade that. You can easily trade that. And I just don't understand, for a team that is getting better with drafting and wants to draft talent and be better at drafting, why would you not maximize your chance to hit on a competitive balance round pick than by just offering $17.9 million to a really good shortstop? Now, I think Didi is going to decline severely, because he is a luck-based hitter 100% of the time. He is constantly in the bottom 5% of exit velocity, and, you know, always in the bottom of the barrel, for lack of a better word, on barrel rates. I mean, he's always just down at the bottom. But because they had a short porch, which the Phillies, for whatever reason,
Citizens Bank Park can
use to their don't use to their advantage, which I will never understand. It hurts my soul. But why?
It's a ballpark you could thrive in. It's like one of the ballparks you could thrive in. He's obviously an inconsistent hitter. He's an aging shortstop. You get him for 1 year. Oh, and by the way, here's another reason to get excited about the Phillies in 2021. Get ready for 162 games of Scott Kingery. Woo! Like, come on.
Well, honestly, okay. So I'm somebody who actually I have
you're a Kingery believer, and I appreciate your optimism.
And I think, well, doesn't everybody? No, but it's not that I'm a Kingery believer. It's that I think COVID and its I don't even know how to say this. Its effect on your long term health. And your energy in particular is pretty staggering. I think there are so many people out there who have, I think there are so many people out there who have kind of brought up how their energy has just taken such a steep decline after contracting COVID. And I think that Scott Kingery was a prime example of that. I think that every single part of his game was off last year. And you can see that because the one thing that Scott Kingery is that I know that Scott Kingery is, he is an elite defender at second base. I watched him countless times in his ascent through the minors. I have watched him during major league games. I've watched him during spring training. I've watched him all the time. He is an elite defender. That's the one thing he is. And the fact that he was the worst defender on the 2020 Phillies, I think speaks more volumes about the effect of COVID than it does to, you know, the decline of Scott Kingery. I'm using air quotes for those that are listening, the decline of Scott Kingery. So I think that he probably won't be a superstar. I don't think he ever was going to be a superstar, to be completely honest, but I think
is he an everyday player? Should the Phillies plan on him being a 2021 everyday player?
I think so, because I think you will get very good defensive numbers out of him. And I think you are going to be looking at him trying to climb out of this hole of, you know, being just a total offensive wreck. And I think eventually he might get there. But the worst that you're getting out of Scott Kingery is a multi-positional utility man for a $4 million annual average value. And that in and of itself is fine. And if he doesn't return back to the way that he, you know, we all want him to play, then, you know, when we hit his team option and what is it, 3 years, just decline it and set him free and let him go somewhere else. But you are getting, you know, a utility man, at least off the bench, that can play second, short, third, center field. That's very rare. And you're getting that for $4 million a year. And that is just, you can't complain about that. So long and the short of it is, I don't even know how we got to Scott Kingery, but
I'm curious that they didn't do that. Yeah.
But I'm okay with Scott Kingery being the starting second baseman of the 2021 Philadelphia Phillies, especially because I don't think they'll spend money to fix that. So,
more of the Locked On Phillies podcast coming right up. But first, I want to tell you about my friends at Built Bar. Built Bar, they have 18 amazing flavors. It's the bar that tastes like a candy bar. I have one almost every single day. These are delicious. Again, they have 18 flavors. Some of them are great. My personal favorite, cookies and cream. They also have caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and of course their classics, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, double chocolate, orange, coconut, and a whole lot more. The best part about these, they are healthy. They are great for the health conscious guy or girl. They will help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low in calories, low in sugar, high in fiber, high in protein. So right now, I want you to go to www.builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON so they know I sent you, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, go to www.builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
I wanted to get more into you because we briefly just talked for the very first time before, you know, recording this podcast. We obviously know each other from social media and stuff like that, but I did not know until today that you are originally from the UK. You moved here when you were six. I would not know it because you have no resemblance of an accent, in my opinion. Apparently your dad still has it. Is your mom from the US? Like, what brought you to the US? How'd you get into baseball? How'd you get into Phillies baseball? Take me through it all.
So my mom is, you know, New Jersey, born and raised, was forever a New Jerseyan until she met my father. And then they moved around a whole bunch together. My dad came over to the US for business and stayed here for some time, had to go back and forth. So they were doing long distance. And eventually they got married and they settled down actually here in the US, which is where my brother was born and where I was born. And then when I was 3 months old, moved over to the UK. So I am a dual citizen, which is pretty awesome. I can flee here whenever I might need to.
You might want to use that soon. Yeah, I don't, with the
I know, yeah,
COVID cases going back.
It is insane. But yeah, so we, and they're getting vaccines. Hey. So anyway, went over to the UK, stayed there till I was 6 years old, came back to the US. I don't have an accent because the kids in my camp when I was very young thought I talked funny. So I did my best to assimilate. And
they literally bullied, you know, the accent out of you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they did. It was
horrible.
But sad existence. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. So I don't have it anymore. I think I would be a lot cooler if I did still have an accent, but I don't. So it's sad. But anyway, I got into baseball because my best friend in kindergarten and first grade was a huge baseball fanatic. And he loved the Phillies. And he gave me my first pack of baseball cards for my birthday. And I pulled a Jim Thome. And that was that.
Is that
I
how you got the
fell in love with this game?
Is that how you got the Phillies?
So, yeah, he was a big Phillies fan. And I hadn't decided. I was very particular because for anybody out there listening that likes, you know, that likes European soccer, my father and I are big Leicester City fans. My dad's been a Leicester City fan for 50 years. I mean, just he has been through the ups, the downs. And so I've always been a Leicester fan, very particular about who I support, and I have to have a reason. So I, for me, being somebody who lives in New Jersey and grew up in New Jersey, you're either a New York fan, so you're a Yankee or Met fan, or you take the Southern route and you're a Philly fan. For whatever reason, there's never any Pittsburgh. I'm not complaining about it.
Well, Pittsburgh's Western.
I would have lived, a dreaded sense. Existence being a Pirates fan. But yeah, you're right. So anyway, yeah, I pulled a Jim Thome. My friend gushed about Jim Thome to me. And that was that. I fell in love with this game. I've always hated math. It's funny. I've always really hated math and never really took into consideration the fact that statistics were math, even though that's so strange because it's all numbers. But I guess statistics were more of a baseball thing to me than they were a math thing. So I fell in love with the machinations of the game and just how particular everything was and how fun it was to, you know, just read the back of a baseball card. And that was it. That's how I got into baseball. And then getting here, I don't even know how I got here, man. I you know, in college, I majored in musical theater. I'm a singer and an actor. It's my primary passion, I suppose. Though baseball is that kind of thing that, you know, wakes me up in the morning. I love it. It keeps me up at night, wakes me up in the morning, all that. So I you know, started a Twitter profile maybe 2-3 years ago now. I guess it's 3 years now. That's wild to me. But yeah, 3 years ago, I started a Twitter profile called Can We Fix It? Fix with a PH. And Jack Fritz always makes fun of me for it because he's followed me since, you know, the earliest of early days. And, you know, just will never let it go, that I used to have that as my Twitter handle. And I used to also have a picture of Brad Lidge and Carlos Ruiz hugging each other. Because
I think I remember that. I think I followed you originally when that was your... I mean, you weren't the only one, to be fair, who's had that picture over the years. But I distinctly remember you having that.
So funny, because when I changed that to in an effort to be more professional, people were like, I'm going to need you to change it back because I don't recognize that you're on my timeline.
You can't have a face. Like, no, you need to go back to the other thing.
It's just not allowed. So, for whatever reason, I think it was because of my positivity, sometimes just such blind positivity, which a lot of people think is blind. It's primarily just that I prefer to think of things, you know, in their
glass half full.
I guess they're more positive form. But you know, I guess that was new to the Philadelphia fan base. Go figure. So people,
we love really,
I love it too, to be completely honest. There is definitely a time and a place where I will get negative. I'll tell an anecdote about it, but, I guess that was new for people, and, people really took to it, and my stuff started getting more and more interactions. And, I started writing with The Good Fight. I started doing some, you know, podcast stuff here and there, just appearing on people's podcasts. And, here I am today, and I am so thankful to be doing this, because even, you know, in the grand scheme of things, 5,500 followers really isn't, you know, that big of a deal. But to me, the fact that there are people out there that, you know, interact with and read my stuff and really enjoy it, and say such nice things, it's a big deal for me. I really, really enjoy that. And as somebody who, is an actor and you know, performs on stage to make people smile and make people feel better. I mean, that's about as good as it gets for somebody like me. And it's funny because Matt Winkleman, who, if you don't follow, please go follow him. He is one of my dearest, references and just somebody I look up to very much. He runs a D&D group that I play with some other baseball people. And he says to me all the time, that he has never seen me, be negative online, but in person I can, or not negative, but like be loud or boisterous or angry or whatever, online. But when it's in D&D or it's in, you know, our personal conversations, animation to the max. So it's funny that, you don't always know how you come off online versus how you do in person. But that's how I got here. He is always there to keep me in check. Matt is, that's my story of how I came to America and loved baseball and got on Twitter, which is a hell of a website.
You mentioned that you went to Montclair State before we started recording, which is like definitely North Jersey, I would think Yankees and maybe a little bit of Mets territory. Where did you actually, you also mentioned that you grew up in Central Jersey, which I'm so happy that you acknowledge its existence.
Shout out Central Jersey.
Like, there's clearly a gray area between the North and South. There's an area where you get both Philadelphia and New York sports. That is Central Jersey as far as I'm concerned. So how many of your friends were Philadelphia sports fans, New York sports fans? You did mention that you're a Leicester City fan. Do you like any other American sport? I mean, backseat to baseball, but like, did you take Eagles, Sixers, Flyers? You got any New York ties? Will you watch other sports? Run me through that.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm really particular with the teams that I choose to support, but I guess after the Phillies, my interests just co-aligned with it. For football, I do love football. I love watching it.
American football, we're talking.
I'm definitely not. Okay. Yeah. I am definitely not, an expert. People always ask me, are you going to tweet about the Eagles? Are you going to tweet about the Sixers? And I could, but I don't know anywhere near as much about football or basketball than I do about baseball. And so I just more enjoy watching and the occasional, here or there tweet, but I really want to stick to, as the trolls always say, stick to baseball. Anyway,
you have a brand. You got to stay on brand.
Exactly. It's my brand. So, yeah. So I love watching football. I love watching basketball. But primarily for me, it's baseball and it's soccer. I'm starting to enjoy hockey a little bit more, although here's where it gets weird, because I love the Mariners as well. I was just talking about this the other day. I made a joke about, you know, being traded from the Philadelphia fan base to the Mariners.
You are asking to be traded, by the way, to the only franchise in baseball that has a longer playoff drought than the Phillies do.
Which I am so okay with. I told you, I love bad baseball players.
I'm just saying, for a positive guy, you seem to enjoy pain. Like, maybe it's a challenge. I don't know.
I think it's just because I don't really, I don't know. The negative aspects of the teams don't really,
they don't bother you.
It's
in the same way.
It's hard to dissect. It's hard to dissect. I really, I'll have to do some soul searching eventually. But it's more, so anyway, the reason that I bring that up is because, I really love the Seattle Kraken. I love their jerseys. I love everything about them. And I really have never been into hockey much, you know, until now.
It's just, so you're all in on the Kraken, like them starting, like,
I think I am. I don't know. I have to really, dig, because I have never liked watching hockey, specifically because I can never follow the puck. And it's such a stupid reason, but I just can't. And I feel like in all the other games that I watch, you know, I can follow the soccer ball, I can follow a basketball, but can never follow a puck. But maybe with glasses, it's helpful. I don't know. But yeah, I also just love, you know, the Mariners jerseys as well. And I guess it was being fascinated with Ken Griffey Jr. while growing up was part of my reason. But they are I wouldn't say close second favorite baseball team, but the Mariners are definitely, if I had to pick another team to root for, it'd be the Mariners. And they're going to be really fun soon, but it's going to take a while. But they'll be fun eventually.
For those of you, because you had mentioned, you know, going from the Ruiz Lidge pick to now a picture of your face, I was a little, we're obviously doing this for Zoom. The listeners can only hear us. I don't know if this is new or not, and I don't know how long ago that photo was taken. You have a bit of a quarantine beard going. What have you been doing over quarantine? You mentioned that you're into music and acting, which I'm sure, like many other things, have been very negatively affected by the pandemic, live performances. How's that going? Where are you with that stage of your life? And what have you been doing besides writing about baseball just from your house? Because we've all kind of just been stuck in this situation that is.
Wow, this is so, you're so asking me such personal questions. I love it.
It's taken a direction. I didn't know any of this. Like, it's my duty as the host of Locked On Phillies to ask these types of questions.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the beard is actually new. I can grow facial hair really, really quickly. It may not look like it based on my profile picture. I mean, that is me. That's my acting headshot. So, you know, you take away the really long hair that I have right now and the beard that I have going, and, you know, that's what I look like. But right now I look like a bit of a mountain man, and I'm enjoying it. I just have never had, aside from like third grade, I've never had long hair. So I'm taking the quarantine to experiment that. I'm going to actually shave it off eventually and go buzz cut, which is going to be crazy. That's going to be really weird. But yeah, the beard, I do have a beard every now and again, just because it grows so quickly. And sometimes, you know, either I don't want to shave it, or it's, you know, it's winter, so I, you know, use it as kind of some protection-ish. It's nice and warm. Yeah, so it's actually pretty new. It's probably about 2 or 3 weeks old. So it grows. I'm blessed to have the ability to grow a nice full beard. But yeah, as far as acting and things as that goes, it's not going great. I was blessed enough, actually, after I graduated last year, I was blessed to work for 9 months straight. So going directly into the pandemic, I worked for 9 solid months in New Jersey. There's a professional theater in New Jersey that I worked at, and then Vermont and New Hampshire. And I got to do that for 9 months, and that was great. But unfortunately, I came back and the pandemic hit, and theater is now dead, which is a shame. But you know, it'll come back eventually. But right now, it's not looking good for anybody in the live performing industry. So if you have any artist friends, reach out to them, check in, see if they're doing okay, because it's a sucky time to be an artist right now. But yeah, that's basically, you know, what I've been doing with my quarantine is working, trying to.
I was gonna say you're working for a theater, like doing. What did these states allow for in a pandemic?
So I'm not actually working for a theater right now, but when I was working with theaters in,
sure.
in
yeah,
the
yeah,
past
yeah.
in these 9 months, you know, it was performing. So it was, you know, doing plays, musicals, those kinds of things. So, you do that by basically going out and auditioning in New York City, and you hope that you get hired. And you know, it's a really tough industry. Everything they say about it is true. It's really, really hard to get a job in theater and in performing arts, period. But, you know, it's worth it because I love to do it. And to get paid to do what you love is a heck of a thing. It really is true that if, you know, you love what you're doing, you really don't work a day in your life. So I do miss it. But in terms of quarantine, I'm working, I'm writing, obviously, and doing social media stuff. And I'm hoping soon. You asked me, you know, if, before we started recording, if there were any things, if I had any other titles to my resume of baseball.
I'm learning. You have a lot of other titles. You're like, nah, just writer for the good fight. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. This will be another interview. No, this is going in a direction. You were talking about the personal questions. Like most people I get on here, you know, they're all great, but a lot of them have similar backgrounds. Like I'm into sports, I'm in broadcasting and writing, whatever. You have this whole other world that at least maybe some people know about. I did not. And maybe the Twitter
not a lot
world
of people do know about
that
it.
Follows it's, you like from a Philly standpoint, probably don't. So that's why I'm kind of uncovering this layer by layer.
I don't talk about me a lot. I really don't. And I don't think there's a reason for that. It's just that, you know, you mentioned I have a brand, and theater is as far away from my brand as anything gets. So, you know, I have, you know, my baseball side of me, and you know, obviously in theater, loving baseball is not a super common thing either. So you know, I don't want to say I have two different sides to myself, but I have two different careers that I'm pursuing both equally very intensely. But you know, it just so happens that one is more remote than the other, and they coalesce very well, actually. You know, I have to get up early for, you know, auditions and things like that. But that means I just get more time to write while I'm sitting in an audition room or something like that. So, you know, it works out well. But yeah, quarantine has for me just been lots of working, you know, just not only in my respective fields, but on myself and, you know, trying to get myself to get out there and go for a run or get out there and, eat healthier, or which is so hard to do right now. And you know, it's just a lot of me trying to get through this whole thing without going insane. I love watching Netflix all day as much as the next person, but it is really in order to like keep myself feeling good, I have to do something. And I definitely have not been as kind to myself as I would like to be, you know, as I exited college and was just working my butt off all the way through. So I'm taking time for me and trying to work on me. That's my quarantine.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Are you a Seinfeld fan at all?
Oh, of course.
Okay. So what you just described sounds very George Costanza in the sense of like, he has independent George and relationship George, and you have what sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, like baseball Alex and musical theater Alex.
Yeah, totally. That is totally accurate. And there, it's the same human being. It's just two completely different fields that I kind of have to separate my brain into. But I'm super lucky to do as well as I do in both fields. And I just realized that I didn't finish my sentence of what I am going to start doing. Hopefully, I'm going to start trying to create video content and streaming. So hopefully for all you Philly fans out there, I'm going to be attempting to do, you know, live talks about, you know, the off season. It's hard to get started with it right now because everything is so dim and gloomy in the Phillies universe, but you know, as soon as things start really picking up, I'm gonna, you know, start doing some streams and addressing people's questions and things like that, and also just creating video content hopefully throughout the year. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I feel like the pandemic is a really good excuse to do it. So on top of actor and baseball writer, I'm gonna hopefully add content creator, streamer, something like that. And that'll be, you know, just more things to do with my quarantine self. And yeah, other than that, I have a really cute dog. His name is Nola. He's
How about that?
Really awesome.
Real Philly guy right there, naming it Nola.
He's 6 months old, and he's getting neutered today. He is not currently here because of that very reason. So I hope he's, shout out to Nola. Hope he's doing okay. And then I have a lovely girlfriend of 4 years who I live in this lovely apartment with. Her name is Jeanette, and that's my life. Very nice and simple and busy.
How about that? All right. So we have been at this for over an hour now, by far the longest guest I've had on. I've been hosting this for about 6 weeks. I'm honored.
I do talk a lot.
Like, no. It was great. And I learned a lot, and it's good to change it up. I can only ask guests, like, do you think JT Realmuto will be a Philly, or like, let's complain about John Middleton so many times. Yeah. Like, it can only be repeated so many times. So different is very good.
Yeah.
And the fact that it went on for this long, like, I never try and force it to a certain length or not, but this was really good. And I would love to absolutely do this again. Unless you have anything else to add, this has been great.
I would love to come back. I always love being on. It's always nice to have an excuse to talk about baseball and to talk to people in general in the pandemic. It is just always nice to have that excuse and to be able to, you know, interact with new people, old friends, whatever it may be, but especially to talk about baseball and not completely be sad about it is always a fun time. I really love any excuse to do that. So thank you for having me, truly.
No, thank you, Alex. Have a good one. Have a great rest of your week. And hopefully, you know, we'll have some happier days ahead with this Phillies organization.
We'll see.
That'll do it for my conversation with Alex Carr, one of the more fun guests I've had on the podcast for sure in about 6 or 7 weeks that I've been doing it now. Again, got into more personal stuff than I maybe would have with some other guests. He does a great job, obviously, covering this team and having kind of a cool persona on Twitter and writing about them for The Good Fight, but obviously also has a whole another side to him that doesn't really cross over into his baseball world, which I think is pretty cool and frankly pretty unique. And it's always cool to talk to people who are into baseball. I always say sports and baseball specifically is a unifier, and here it went and unified someone who, you know, wouldn't necessarily stereotypically be into baseball, grew up in England. You know, also has a theater background, and he mentioned it himself, those worlds don't necessarily overlap a whole lot, but I think it just adds to the diversity in opinions, getting a fresh perspective, and again, just a really interesting guy to talk to. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes this week.